Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Friday, October 30th. UT Report. Midland in midst of second coronavirus peak by Caitlin Randall. A report from the University of Texas at Austin shows the Midland-Odessa area is experiencing a second coronavirus wave, and projections in that report estimate there is a 60% chance of the pandemic getting worse. The report analyzed the 22 trauma service areas in Texas and used hospitalization data and cell phone mobility data to estimate the local state of the pandemic in each TSA and to make short-term projections of COVID-19 hospitalizations and ICU needs. Midland-Odessa first peaked over the summer, according to the report. It shows the effective reproduction number, the value that describes how quickly the virus is spreading, was at its highest in mid-June, while hospitalizations peaked a month later. Hospitalizations and the reproduction number plateaued over the next few months until September 15th, when the report shows the beginning of a second wave. The report does not provide a projection for the reproduction number, but does show it has remained between 1.06 and 1.1 over the last week. A value higher than 1 indicates the pandemic is growing, while a value below 1 indicates it is subsiding. Projections for COVID-19 hospitalizations in Midland-Odessa show this wave easily surpassing the first peak during the summer. Coronavirus hospitalizations reached an all-time high of 147 on October 23rd, according to the report, in part because patients from other cities are being transported to the Midland-Odessa TSA. A projection of hospitalizations over the next month shows the median estimate near 200 by the end of November, while a worst-case scenario estimate would put hospitalizations literally off the chart, which maxes out at 300. Intensive care COVID-19 patients are also at a record high, according to the report. There were 59 coronavirus ICU patients in Midland-Odessa on Tuesday, compared with the previous record of 50 in July. A median projection shows that number reaching 65 by the end of November, and a worst-case projection shows that number surpassing 150 by November 11th. The report also states there has been a 23% increase in the number of newly infected cases in the last 14 days compared to the previous 2 weeks. UT's report shows Midland-Odessa is following a statewide trend of rising number of coronavirus cases, though it's faring worse than areas like Abilene, where the reproduction number is at 0.82 and hospitalizations are projected to decline. Cities like El Paso, Austin, and San Angelo have higher reproduction numbers than Midland-Odessa. In El Paso, where the county judge recently imposed a 10 p.m. curfew, UT's median and worst-case projections for hospitalizations are about the same. The median projection shows hospitalizations reaching 1,700 by November 7th, while the worst-case estimate shows hospitals with the same number of patients a week earlier. DA and family clarify reports in death of 15-year-old. Coordinated statements offer details, say investigation into death of Jasmine Melendez, continues by Stuart Doreen. The Midland County District Attorney's Office and the Midland family brought forward statements Thursday to bring light to the death of a 15-year-old Midland girl earlier this month. The District Attorney's Office delivered an update on the investigation involving the death of Jasmine Melendez. The update, delivered with the permission of the girl's parents, Estevan and Francesca Melendez, sought to bring clarity to reports made earlier. The clarification included, there is no connection between the pending investigation and any property belonging to Midland ISD. The investigation has ruled out the potential for multiple suspects. The investigation has ruled out that Jasmine Melendez was transported from any location by private vehicle. Jesmyn Melendez was not thrown from a vehicle. Contrary to previous statements attributed to family members of Jesmyn Melendez, she was not dumped in a yard. The update mentioned a City of Midland statement on October 23rd regarding the investigation into the death of Jesmyn. That report indicated the Midland Police Department responded to a medical call at a residence. At the time, the detectives found no foul play, but the investigation was ongoing, according to the DA's report Thursday. In the release, which she signed, District Attorney Laura Nodolf said, "I want to reiterate that the investigation is not concluded. It is a continuing active investigation. Law enforcement continues to work diligently to discover the facts and truth surrounding the passing of Ms. Melendez." The report also states the status of the pending investigation is protected under the Texas Family Code. A statement offered at the same time Thursday came from Zeke Fortenberry, an attorney hired by Jesmyn's parents to represent their interests in potential civil claims. It states that the family is asking for privacy as they grieve the loss of their 15-year-old daughter and make funeral arrangements. It also states they are fully cooperating with Midland Police Department and the District Attorney's Office. "We are heartbroken at the loss of our daughter and are searching for answers," said Estevan and Francesca Melendez in the statement. "We want justice for Jesmyn. We are waiting for the medical professionals to complete their reports and allowing law enforcement time to thoroughly investigate the case. We want to thank the community for their outpouring of love and support." MISD reschedules superintendent search community meetings by Mary Dearin. Midland ISD superintendent search community feedback forums that were canceled on October 27th because of the weather have been rescheduled for November 11th. The forums are being held to allow the public to share their views on what they expect from leadership as the district conducts a search for its next superintendent. The forum's schedule is 5:30 p.m. November 9th, Lee High School Auditorium, 11:30 a.m. November 1st, Bowie Fine Arts Academy Auditorium, 5:30 p.m. November 11th, Midland High School Library. In addition, a session for teachers and district staff is planned for 4:30 p.m. November 10th at Bowie Auditorium. During the forum, participants will be asked to comment on topics such as characteristics they seek in a new superintendent and strengths and weaknesses of Midland ISD. The community is also invited to provide feedback via a survey that can be found at midlandisd.net. The survey includes questions about qualifications of candidates, issues or concerns about the district, and identifying district strengths. It will close on November 19th. The deadline for superintendent applications is November 19th. Action on hiring a new superintendent will not be taken until the new school board is in place in January. Approval of a final candidate is expected for early 2021. Additional information about the superintendent search is available on the website. West Texas Food Bank distributes 10 million pounds of food in FY 2020. By J.C. Lewis. The West Texas Food Bank ended its fiscal year at the end of September with significant increases in pounds of food distributed and people served, Director of Development Amanda Ellis said. "We had a 62% increase in how many pounds the West Texas Food Bank has distributed overall to the 19 counties," she said. "The year prior, we did a little over 6 million, and this year we did 10,055,000 pounds. With fresh food, which was included in the 10 million pound total, the food bank had a 108% increase in distribution, meaning the food bank more than doubled the fresh produce distribution," she said. The WTFB has also seen a 29% increase in the number of people served who hadn't been served before. "We can attribute that to COVID, every bit of that, because of the increased demand initially from things being shut down, then also from what happened to the oil industry," Ellis said. As the holiday season approaches, the WTFB continues to prepare for the unexpected alongside their partner agencies. The holiday distribution time will look slightly different with the elimination of $10 turkey vouchers and addition of mobile pantry distribution time. We typically do turkey vouchers. Clients would receive a $10 voucher that they could use at a grocery store, she said. The food bank hasn't given out turkeys in years because not everybody has an oven that works, not everybody likes turkeys, and not everybody uses turkeys in their holiday celebrations. This year, because of COVID and all the changes, we didn't mess with turkey vouchers this year, but instead we're doing large-scale holiday outreaches. This will help the WTFB meet the extra need for the holidays with a mobile pantry without adding distribution times at the pantries. The first holiday outreach mobile pantry will be 3 p.m. Thursday at Greater Ideal Baptist Church, 303 North Lee Street. The food bank is continuing to receive 3,200 farmers to families boxes each week, but the funding for the programs stops at the end of November, Ellis said. The WTFB isn't accepting donations of food, therefore holiday food drives won't be helping the nonprofit, but people can still give monetary donations through the website and host virtual food drives at wtxfoodbank.org/host-a-food-drive. If they want to do a food drive, they can do a virtual food drive that's on our website. They can set up for a group of people or individuals can make a donation directly to the food bank, which helps our purchasing power go so much further versus the dollar an individual would spend at the grocery store, she said. If things are shut down again, it might affect the food supply chain at grocery stores, like it did at the beginning of the pandemic. The WTFB is trying to keep staff and volunteers safe throughout the pandemic, especially after the High Plains Food Bank in Amarillo closed down earlier this week because staff members tested positive for coronavirus, Ella said. We can't do that. Shut down, she said. I cannot imagine any of us that work here knowing how many people depend on us, especially this time of year, being okay to shut down. The food bank has continued to double down on safety measures to keep people safe and healthy, Ellis said. Numbers for 2019's year fiscal years compared to 2020's fiscal year are as follows. FY 2019, October 1, 2018, to September 30, 2019, 6.4 million pounds of food, equivalent to 5.3 million meals. 1.25 million pounds of fresh produce, 39,500 individuals served. FY 2020, ending September 30, 2020, 10,055,087 pounds of food, equivalent to 8.4 million meals. 2,553,312 pounds of produce. Cases up nearly 14% over last week. The number of new COVID-19 cases is likely to set another weekly record, according to statistics provided by the Midland Health Department. The Health Department reported 94 new cases Thursday for a total this week of 491 cases. That total is up nearly 14%. Compared to the total through Thursday of last week, 431. Last week ended with 535, the most new cases of any week during the pandemic. Thursday's new cases were reflective of lab results from parts of Monday and Tuesday, according to the city. The health department also reported 2,092 active cases, an increase of 53 compared to Wednesday, and 3,021 recoveries, an increase of 38. The number of COVID-19-related deaths in Midland County remained at 94. The overall case count during the pandemic rose to 5,470. Thai House reopens for takeout, by Caitlin Randall. Thai House, 9 Meta Drive, reopened Thursday for takeout after closing in March at the start of the coronavirus pandemic. Only 3 people will be allowed inside the restaurant at a time to pick up orders, and masks are required to be worn before entering, according to a post on Thai House's Facebook page. The restaurant posted that staff had planned to open in September, but were delayed because of adapting to COVID-19 safety protocols. The restaurant will be open for its regular hours, 11 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. and 5 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. Monday through Friday. Their menu offers dumplings, Thai curries, stir fries, and traditional noodle dishes.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, October 30, 2020. The first to finish. Gabby Garza is the first to run under the finish line, held up by Deegan Fricker and Angela Deaver, Saturday morning during the Marine Corps Marathon. The marathon was run in Midland after the National Marathon was canceled. Runners from Midland have run the marathon in honor of Patrick Wayland, Midland High School and U.S. Naval Academy graduate, who died in 2011 during a training accident. Early voting ends today. Early voting centers for the November 3 general election ends today at 5 voting centers across Midland. Time, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. County Annex, 2110 North A Street. Calvary Assembly of God, 908 Johnston Street. MCPL Centennial Branch, 4503 West Loop 250 North. Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 3818 North Midland Drive. St. Paul's Methodist Church, 4501 Thomason Drive. Early voting totals. Thursday, 3,061. Wednesday, 2,594. Tuesday, 411. Monday, 2,344. Sunday, 917. Saturday, 2,516. October 23, 3,374. October 22, 2,865. October 21, 3,160. October 20, 3,612. October 19, 3,509. October 16, 3,780. October 15, 3,399. October 14, 3,330. October 13, 3,259. Mail-in ballots, 3,365. Total, 45,499. Big Sky Drive-In, MCSO to host free movies. Midland County Sheriff's Office and Big Sky Drive-In are partnering for free kid-friendly movies on Halloween night. Patrons have their choice of three movies: Hotel Transylvania, Monster House, and Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Movies will start at 7:25 p.m. Saturday. Goodie bags will be handed out as patrons arrive, according to flyer from MCSO. Halloween events today. Bloody Bill's Haunted Maze Chainsaw Carnage is 7 p.m. to midnight today and Saturday at 2215 West 2nd Street in Odessa. Tickets are $15 per person or $20 for line skip. Live Rooftop Art Show Halloween Edition is 6 to 11 p.m. today at Doubletree by Hilton Midland Plaza. Mama Movement Halloween Costume Party is 3 p.m. today at the Little Gym. The event is open and free to the public. Texas Size Garage Sale continues. Senior Life has planned 2 additional days for the Texas Size Garage Sale, a fundraiser for Meals on Wheels. The sale is set for 9 to 11 a.m. and noon to 2 p.m., November 6 through 7, at 407 East Scarborough Drive. For more information, call 689-6693 or visit seniorlifemidland.org. Texas Recycles Day is upcoming. Annual Texas Recycles Day is 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. November 14 at Chaparral Center parking lot. Items that can be brought for recycling are electronics, appliances, and tires. In addition, up to 3 boxes of paper can be brought for free shredding. For more information, call Keep Midland Beautiful at 688-7745 or visit keepmidlandbeautiful.org. Holy Trinity is collecting food for Jubilee Center. The Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity will be collecting food for the Jubilee Center. Donations may be dropped off at the door of the church's office 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday through November 17 and 5:30 through 7:30 p.m. November 18 at the parking lot. For a list of food needs or for more information, go to holytrinity.org. Call the church office at 683-4207 or Bert Bostick at 349-7882. Gem and Mineral Society plans market. The Midland Gem and Mineral Society will hold an outdoor market 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. November 7 on the grounds of the Society's facilities, 602 South Main Street. Because of COVID-19, the annual event is being limited to just local vendors, who will have gems, jewelry, and geodes for sale. Society members may also demonstrate lapidary arts and wire wrapping skills. Vendor booths will be socially distanced, and there will not be public restrooms available. Attendees will be required to wear face masks. Today in history. Today is Friday, October 30, the 304th day of 2020. There are 62 days left in the year. On this date, in 1961, the Soviet Union tested a hydrogen bomb, the Tsar Bomba, with a force estimated at about 50 megatons. In 1974, Muhammad Ali knocked out George Foreman in the 8th round of a 15-round bout in Kinshasa, Zaire, known as the Rumble in the Jungle, to regain his world heavyweight title.
Opinion, our view. Myers and Midland Health staff deserve credit for being transparent. Laurels. For Midland ISD, thank you for erring on the side of caution during this week's weather event, or maybe non-event. We appreciate that you considered the interest of a community that is a little frazzled because coronavirus and a school year that has been a struggle. We also hope that you took advantage of the situation by regrouping downtown and on campuses across the city. Lastly, we also appreciate those schools, MISD or otherwise, that use the 2 days without students as an opportunity to get in some COVID-19 prevention cleaning as needed. Let's call it a fall break and an opportunity to get our minds right as we head into November and December and toward the end of the first semester. For Greenwood ISD, it was tough to hear that the district had to close its high school campus for 5 days as the school deals with having too many students and staff who have had close contact with someone who is a confirmed COVID-19 case. The district also had to cancel the volleyball team's appearance in the upcoming playoffs. Those are tough but necessary decisions that had to be made for the health of the district's staff and students. For Russell Myers of Midland Health, we haven't seen a medical officer in a community who has been more transparent than Myers. He and his Midland Health staff have made themselves available for questions from the media and public at least once a week for months during the pandemic. There are some people who might not like the facts or the message about wearing masks, but this community can't complain about the communication that has come from our health experts. Myers and Midland Health officials deserve credit for being proactive. For Mayor Patrick Payton, thank you, Mayor, for requesting all Midlanders take care of themselves and other residents. Last week, you called for Midlanders to be disciplined in the fight against COVID, and this week you urged a COVID-19-weary community to make one more stand against the disease. You were right when you wrote, "Our patience is worn thin." You were also correct that the only way we stay open for business and try to get back to some form of normal is if we enter the ring together for round 3 and fight the same fight again. It is so true that we don't need mandates to take care of business. We just need care and compassion for one another and respect for a virus that has proven to be quite formidable. Arrows, for the lack of rainfall. Sadly, the weather event was more about record cold weather and less about precipitation. While we are glad there weren't many wrecks, this city could have used the precipitation and a good, deep ground soaking. Heading into Wednesday, the National Weather Service reports a deficit of 6.29 inches of rain this year compared to normal. Wow, 2020, on top of everything else, has been one of the driest years on record.
Opinion column from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, published Friday, October 30th. No Charlie Brown Halloween Special is So 2020, by Alyssa Rosenberg, Washington Post. As if 2020 hasn't taken enough from American families, Halloween will be marked by yet another indignity. For the first time since its 1966 debut, It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown won't air on network television. The cause won't be Linus Van Pelt's wavering faith in the demagogue of the title. Rather, like Lucy yanking the football away from Charlie Brown, Apple TV Plus has swooped up the rights to Peanuts holiday specials. On one level, this is a business story about the rise of streaming services and the decline of traditional television. But the death of this Halloween staple also suggests a spooky truth. A change that was supposed to bring more convenience for consumers increasingly threatens common cultural experiences, which this year are already in short supply. The coronavirus pandemic has shaken up Halloween, inspiring distancing-friendly shoots for candy delivery and warnings about the danger of hayrides. With grim reality already intruding on a fantastical holiday, it feels particularly unfair for the Peanut specials, which provide a lovely look at the melancholy, imaginative world of childhood, to get caught up in adult commerce. The migration of beloved shows and movies to streaming platforms has long been a staple of entertainment business news coverage, and a source of frustration to viewers who must chase that programming from outlet to outlet. For all the money these services have plowed into developing original content, legacy shows and movies are often the most popular with subscribers. Sitcoms such as Friends and The Office found new lives and audiences as streaming hits on Netflix long after their original runs on NBC. It's no surprise NBC wanted to reclaim them when it launched its own streaming service, Peacock. Disney Plus, the streaming service launched last November, signed up more than 60 million subscribers by consolidating family-friendly entertainment from all the Disney brands at precisely the moment parents were desperate to distract children driven stir-crazy by pandemic restrictions. And back in 2016, Sesame Street moved to HBO. Little wonder that Apple TV wants a G-rated content library of its own and that it would turn to Peanuts, a brand deeply rooted in the American imagination and one easily reinvented for new shows and specials. For years, advocates of cord cutting have argued that the streaming ecosystem would improve on expensive cable bundles, but those subscriptions still add up. Buying access to the most basic streaming version of the services mentioned in this column would run $40.97 per month before tax. The other argument for streaming is convenience. Subscribers can watch anything on offer, whenever, and pretty much wherever they want. This customizable experience, though, can be isolating. One of the great pleasures of watching a television show or movie is doing it with other people, sharing reactions in real time and discussing it the next day. Remember that past age when we actually gathered around office water coolers? Services such as Teleparty, which sync up users' video streams so they can watch movies and TV together, even when they are physically distanced, have gained popularity as the pandemic has kept friends and families apart and disrupted film and television schedules. Apple TV Plus plans to make the Peanuts specials free to stream for non-subscribers during short windows around relevant holidays. But as with HBO, allowing PBS to air Sesame Street episodes after a period in which they're exclusive to HBO, Apple's decision emphasizes the restriction, not the limited availability. It underscores that Americans now have different levels of access to some cultural touchstones, dividing kids whose parents can shell out for extra services and for those who can't. That gap isn't just about money. The 2019 American Community Survey found that 13.4% of households had no internet subscription at all. That divide burst into more widespread consciousness when the COVID-19 pandemic left school districts struggling to buy hotspots and laptops for students who didn't already have them. And not all internet access is the same. Many rural areas lack broadband service that is fast enough to reliably move school and work online or stream television shows and movies. While the number of households without a television is growing, it was 2.6% in 2015, TV is still the medium for common collective experiences and events. 3 days of free streams of It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown isn't worth much if you can't stream anything at all. The pandemic has taken from American children things as large as in-person learning and as prosaic as apple bobbing. Sitting down as a family to watch Linus wait for the arrival of the Great Pumpkin, knowing that millions of other people are doing the same thing at the same moment, wouldn't make up for the profound disruptions and losses Americans are experiencing this year. But in 2020, we need all the fun and community feeling we can get. Hello, this is Michael, continuing with the Midland Reporter Telegram obituaries published Friday, October 30th. Michael Brand Morse. Michael Brand Morse, 79, of Midland, went to heaven and the God he loved on Monday, October 26th, 2020. A memorial will be held Saturday, October 31st at 3 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland, with Jan Reed officiating. Interment will be at Oakwood Cemetery, Austin, Texas. Mike was born to Annabelle Day and Joseph Edward Morse on May 7th, 1941, in Long Beach, California. He married Eleanor Fisher in Houston on January 4th, 1969. He was preceded in death by his parents, Ann and Joe Morse, maternal grandparents, Nonnie and Bobby Day, and paternal grandparents, B and Bobby Freeman. He is survived by his wife, Eleanor, daughter, Laura Smith, and husband, Sheldon of Midland, son, Michael Morse, and his wife, Miriam of Dallas, daughter, Casey Strait, and husband, Jeff of Salina, Texas, sister, Lori Mohel, and husband, Jim, nieces, Morgan and Taylor, and seven grandchildren, Carly Smith, Sam Morse, Jack Morse, Lily Strait, Abby Strait, Chloe Strait, and Lawson Strait. The family would also like to express their gratitude towards Maribel Hernandez and the whole staff at Manor Park Vogel Center. All of you took such good care of him with kindness and love. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Lone Star Sanctuary for Animals, 4200 North Fairgrounds Road, Midland, Texas, 79705. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices for Friday. Laura Bell Urban. Laura Bell Urban, 89, of Midland, passed away October 27, 2020. The family will hold a memorial service at 2 p.m. Monday, November 2nd, at St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Margarita Gamboa. Margarita Gamboa, 84, of Midland, passed away October 28, 2020. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday, November 1st, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, November 2nd, at Templo La Hermosa Bautista, 1514 West County Road, 121 in Midland, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online services may be made at www.npwelch.com. Olin Van Grady. Funeral services for Olin Van Grady, 72, of Odessa, are pending at Jackie Warren Funeral Home in Midland. Olin Van Grady died October 25th, 2020, at his residence. Yolanda Urrutia. Yolanda Urrutia, 83, of Cypress, Texas, passed away October 25th, 2020. The service in Houston is pending. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Friday, October 30th, 2020. Section A. Hospitals to give free tests and flu shots, by Michael Merlot. Odessa medical professionals and city officials met during a Thursday virtual briefing to discuss how local hospitals are trying to stay ahead of the rising COVID-19 cases. Medical Center Hospital Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons said that while MCH came off their regional diversion for patient intake during the week. They went back on that diversion Wednesday afternoon due to a higher census. We get a lot of admissions one day and then a lot of discharges the next, she said. Timmons said about 47 MCH employees are not working for either testing positive for COVID-19 symptoms or they are staying home because someone they live with has the virus. Because of that, we've reached out to the state and their resources, and they're sending those. And I know Midland and ORMC, Odessa Regional Medical Center, has received staffing support in that sense as well, she said. A Thursday MCH press release detailed that out of 1,903 positive COVID-19 patients, 37 of those patients are in the hospital, with 22 on the 4 central COVID-19 isolation floor, 15 in the critical care unit, and 12 are on ventilators. Of the in-hospital patients, one is from Buena Vida Nursing and Rehabilitation in Odessa. Two are from Focused Care at Odessa. One is from Andrews. One is from Fort Stockton. One is from Midland. One is from Monahans. And one is from Pecos. MCH also detailed that 97 people have pending tests and 101 MCH patients have reportedly died from COVID-19 related complications. Odessa Regional Medical Center President Stacy Brown said that out of the 4,552 conducted COVID-19 tests, 621 patients have tested positive. 20 patients are in the hospital, 14 are in the ICU, and 5 are on ventilators. Of those patients, one is from Midland, 4 are from Big Spring, and 1 from Encompass Health, she said. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Saravanan spoke on the fluctuation of the total operational beds being used in the county in the last 7 days. You can see that this got up all the way to 15%, and now it looks like it's coming down in the last 2 days, but again, it changes on a day-to-day basis, he said. Saravanan said that the current precautions as well as extra testing are important to keep the community aware of the virus in the county, as well as the number of hospitalizations down. Governor Greg Abbott's executive order GA-32 defined high hospitalizations as any trauma service area that has had 7 consecutive days in which the number of COVID-19 hospitalized patients as a percentage of all hospital capacity exceeds 15%. And medical professionals said in previous meetings that if that capacity exceeds 15%, local county officials may have to make decisions on scaling back restaurant and bar capacity per state mandate. Mayor David Turner said that he'll probably look into talking with health officials next week regarding plans if that were to occur. Turner attended the meeting for the first time in some weeks to talk about City Council's approved $1 million funding that will provide residents with free COVID-19 testing and flu vaccinations beginning November 1st through December 30th in collaboration with ORMC and MCH. We're seeing them go up, Turner said of the rising cases. I don't want to scare anybody. I just want to say we need to go back to the basics. Make sure you're washing your hands, staying away from crowds, maybe not eating out as much, because most of what we're seeing is community spread. City of Odessa Public Information said that the city will be working on a marketing campaign for the free testing and flu shots, as well as creating a website to list on location of tests and directions for those interested. ECISD Superintendent Dr. Scott Murray attended the virtual meeting, saying that he's been watching the hospital numbers and positivity rate for months, further stating that over the next few weeks, ECISD is looking to phase in more students to 5 days a week in-person classes, including 7th graders, 8th graders, 10th graders, juniors, and seniors. But the only way that's going to happen is if our community gets a handle on what's happening, he said. The Ector County Health Department website detailed that 6 Ector County residents have died from COVID-19 related complications in the county since last week, bringing the total to 121. The website also shows that 5,268 people have recovered from the virus. While there has been a total of 6,486 total COVID-19 cases in the county, 3,950 are confirmed positives, 2,536 are probable positives, 1,097 cases are listed as active, and 360 tests are reportedly pending. More COVID-19 county statistics can be found at https://tinyurl.com/y2cjqsvq. And more information regarding the city's collaboration with ORMC and MCH in a previous OA article, located at https://tinyurl.com/y4dsa872. Texas Protective Order Registry goes live across Texas. Database created by Monica's Law, by Royal McGregor. The Texas Protective Order Registry, which was created through Monica's Law, is reportedly operational across all 254 Texas counties, a press release from State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, detailed. Monica's Law was championed by Landgraf as it passed with a strong majority in the Texas House of Representatives, 137-6, April 29, 2019, during the 86th Texas legislative session. The law provides an online database that shows protective orders issued by Texas courts as a result of domestic violence. "I'm proud that the registry is online and up and running," Landgraf said over the phone. "I'm glad that it can help save lives now. It's been a long road to get here, and there were quite a few obstacles in the way, but I'm very proud to have been a part of it." Monica's Law was named in honor of Monica Deming, an Odessa mother who was murdered by an abusive ex-boyfriend in 2015. He was able to hide from the Odessa Police Department due to being from other jurisdictions, and no database was available to show the history of protective orders due to domestic violence. Landgraf said over the phone that he began working on Monica's Law in 2015. He said in a previous Odessa American article that Monica's Law gained a large amount of traction during the 2017 Texas legislative session, but it ran out of time on the Senate floor. It passed the following legislative session. More than 1,800 protective orders have reportedly been entered in the registry by court clerks across Texas. The Office of Court Administration continues to provide training for courts and law enforcement agencies on how to use the system. The public portion of the Texas Protective Order Registry is live as well, the press release stated. A protective order will only be entered into the searchable public database when the person being protected expressly authorizes access. This access is subject to strict confidentiality standards to protect victims of family violence, stalking, sexual assault, and human trafficking. "It goes to show how much of a demand there is for this registry," Landgraf said about the nearly 2,000 protective orders that have been entered in the registry by court clerks across Texas. "All of those orders have been entered because the victims wanted them to be there. I'll be honest, I'm very surprised at how populated the database has become so quickly. I was thinking it would take weeks or months to build up to that amount. But it underscores the need for this." COBAP, grants available, cares, expenditures detailed, by Michael Merlot. The Odessa City Council allocated $500,000 in Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, CARES Act, coronavirus relief funds to provide grants to small businesses. And while $475,000 of those funds have gone to local small businesses, $25,000 worth of grants are still available as of Friday through the City of Odessa Business Assistance Program, COBAP. These grants designed to help businesses impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic range from $2,500, $5,000, and $10,000, and were awarded based on the business's gross revenues, and applications are being accepted until those funds run out. Those who want to apply for those grants can do so by going to the city's website at https://tinyurl.com/y6muwh4p. The city also reported in an email various amounts of CARES Act money used, including $103,000 allocated to Meals on Wheels for meal delivery program, $850,000 allocated to ECISD for their cash match program for purchase of electronic devices for students, $750,000 budgeted for the City of Odessa's mobile testing program, 16 events serving 3,200 citizens, $150,000 budgeted for the city's marketing campaign for COVID awareness, $251,000 purchase of PPE for city employees, including first responders, $62,500 purchase of laptops and additional VPNs for employees' telework capabilities, $61,100 purchase of additional glide scope for Odessa Fire Rescue, $210,000 purchase of Lucas chest compression system and manual defibrillator for Odessa Fire Rescue. Council members voted to grant $1 million of CARES Act money to MCH and ORMC for a partnership which would increase additional free COVID testing and flu shot vaccinations during a Tuesday City Council meeting. An email from Assistant City Manager Philip Urrutia detailed that the city has approximately $2.7 million of the CARES Act money left. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 6,486. Ector County negative, 25,594 out of 32,440 tested, with 360 pending, 121 deaths. Recovered, 5,268. Active, 1,097. ECISD daily cases, 6 students, 7 staff. Midland County, 5,378 confirmed, 94 deaths. Texas, 886,820 confirmed, with 8,005,112 tested. Total Texas deaths, 17,819. U.S. cases, 8,834,393 total confirmed, and 227,045 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH reports its 99th and 100th COVID-19 related deaths. Medical Center Health System reported its 99th and 100th COVID-19 related deaths, a press release detailed. The first patient, a 62-year-old man, died Wednesday evening. The second patient, a 78-year-old man, died late Wednesday night. The first patient was a resident of Odessa and was admitted to MCH October 14th. The second patient was a resident of Fort Stockton and was admitted October 23rd. Both patients had pre-existing conditions, and both families have been notified. Quick hits. Have you voted? The Ector County Courthouse Annex, 1010 East 8th Street, room 104. Early voting hours are scheduled from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. today. Four other voting locations will take place from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. today at Kellis Turner Community Building, 2230 Sycamore Drive, Westlake Hardware, 4652 East University, the Globe Theater at Odessa College, 2308 Shakespeare Road, and Salinas Community Building, 600 West Clements. So far in Ector County, 32,259 have voted. For sample ballots or more information, call 498-4030 or visit www.co.ector.tx.us/page/ector.elections. Local news roundup. Blood drive. Vitalant Bloodsuckers Blood Drive has been scheduled from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. today next to Verizon Wireless inside former MasterCut store at Music City Mall. Donate blood in costume for drawing for $100 gift card for best costume. Visit www.facebook.com/Music City Mall. Basin Boo Fest. Basin Boo Fest has been scheduled from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at the Ector County Coliseum. There will be vendors, safe trick-or-treating, and more. Social distancing will be implemented. Admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/y2kxhs6v. Kids Fest Celebration Drive-Through. Ellen Knoll Art Museum has scheduled October Kids Fest Celebration Drive-Thru from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday in the museum's east side parking lot. Dia de los Muertos goodies bags will be distributed to the first 300 people. The event is free. Call 335-4580 or 550-9696, extension 211, or visit www.knollartmuseum.org. Trump Parade, Rally, and Trump and Treat. A whole Texas Trump Parade, Rally, and Trump and Treat have been scheduled from Saturday at Rock the Desert, 2000 FM 1788, Midland. Lineup for the parade will take place from noon to 2:30 p.m. Trump and Treat will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Visit www.facebook.com/ectorcounty.gop. Lick or Treat. Fix West Texas has scheduled a lick or treat from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena in Midland. There will be pet treats, pictures, podicures, and costume contest, all free. Visit tinyurl.com/y3q19xev or fixwesttexas.org. Grossology. The Petroleum Museum, 1500 West I-20 in Midland, has scheduled Grossology Family Science Night from 2:15 to 3 p.m. Saturday. Experiment with puking pumpkins, goblin snot, disappearing ghosts, ghost rockets, bubbling witches brew, wizard potion, bone bridges, eyeball catapults, and more. The free Family Science Night 2GO box will be equipped with all of the materials and information to conduct 12 hands-on science experiments and inventive projects with your family. To sign up for a box and pick up time, visit www.pbpetro.org/family-science-night. Halloween Symposium. The University of Texas Permian Basin has scheduled the third annual Halloween Symposium from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday. The event will feature literature, lore, and more on everything from the new coven, digital witchcraft in the age of the pandemic, to La Llorona, the weeping woman of Hispanic folklore. The public is invited to attend. The symposium will be conducted live through Microsoft Teams. The event is free. To join, visit tinyurl.com/YXH37JXQ. For more information, email Myra Salcedo at salcedo_m@utpb.edu. Trunk or Treat Events. West Texas Ballroom has scheduled a trunk or treat event from 5 to 8 p.m. Saturday at WTB parking lot, 14394 West University. To join or for information, call 432-770-9867 or visit www.facebook.com/WTX Ballroom. Four Wheels Parts and West Texas Ford Trucks Mafia has scheduled a trunk or treat event from 5 to 8 p.m. Saturday at the Four Wheels Parts parking lot, 4101 East 42nd. Please avoid scare, gory decorations or costumes. Prizes will be awarded for the best decorated trunk. To volunteer or for more information, call 362-9621. The Monahans Chamber of Commerce has scheduled trunk or treat from 5 to 7 p.m. Saturday at the Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Parkway in Monahans. For more information, call 432-943-2187 or visit monahans.org or facebook.com/Monahans Chamber. Permian Basin Ladies Behind the Badge has scheduled a trunk or treat from 6 to 7 p.m. Saturday at Parks Legato Town Center parking lot behind Saltgrass Steakhouse. Candy donations are much appreciated. To donate or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/Y2Z5ER7V. Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane, has scheduled a trunk or treat from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Saturday. There will be decorated vehicles giving out candy, books, a photo booth, games, and more. Social distancing will be expected and masks are encouraged. Visit tinyurl.com/YYE21C1Y. New Life Church, 7184 Club Drive, has scheduled a drive-through trunks of treats from 6 to 8 p.m. Saturday. Family-friendly, socially distant event for Halloween. Family-friendly, socially distant event for Halloween. Remain in the comfort of your car for free candy and treat. Visit tinyurl.com/Y2P3WECG. Crossroads Church, 6901 East Highway 191, has scheduled Night of Light trunk or treat from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Saturday. The event is free and open to the public. Crossroads will follow all CDC guidelines for COVID-19. To volunteer, register your vehicle, or for more information, visit https://crchurch.cc/events. Halloween in the Hangar. Liege Aviation has scheduled Halloween in the Hangar featuring the State Line Band from 7 to midnight Saturday at Midland International Air and Space Port. Tickets include hors d'oeuvres, buffet style. Costumes are encouraged but not required. There will also be costumes contest with prizes, silent auction, facility tours, flight simulators, and planes for photo ops, raffle giveaway, and more. For more information, call 432-848-3112. For tickets or VIP tables, visit tinyurl.com/Y3K2WAXV. 5. Fall Fun Night. Belmont Baptist Church, 1200 East West 8th, has scheduled drive-through Fall Fun Night from 6 to 8 p.m. October 31st in the Northwest parking lot. Visit tinyurl.com/Y5P7PTYC. Hallelujah Night Lighted Up. Lighthouse of Hope, 5533 West Map, has scheduled Hallelujah Night Lighted Up from 6 to 10 p.m. Saturday. There will be games, prizes, food, and more. Masks are required. Visit tinyurl.com/YYAFHQ3X. Halloween Treat Event. Trower Realtors Incorporated has scheduled Witches of Emerald Forest Halloween Treat Event from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Saturday at 15 Emerald Gardens Drive. Goblins and ghosts, superheroes and princesses are invited to show off their costumes, get some candy, and enter a drawing for a free bike. The first 100 kids will be entered into a drawing for a Mongoose 20-inch bike. Two winning tickets will be pulled from the cauldron Halloween night.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.